O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
You may be seated. Together we read Psalm 27 as found in the front of the hymnal. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Through an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord.
Amen.
according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy on us.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. By definition, God cannot die. God is life. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Death cannot touch him. Nothing can harm him. No one can deceive him, fool him, or get the upper hand against him. If God could die, then he would cease to be God. For how great could God be if he could die? But what actually is death? Those who do not believe that there is life after this one believe that death is the complete end of the individual. They believe then that they cease to exist. They are no more. And yet, God is not a destroyer of anything. God creates. He does not uncreate. The law of matter reveals this. In any type of action or reaction, mass and matter is neither created nor lost. What we know as death for human beings is the soul leaving the body. God, as spirit, has no body to leave. Souls live on forever. Souls do not cease to exist, and bodies do not cease to exist. Bodies are left behind in death. Bodies then decompose and return unto the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the matter of the body is not destroyed. By definition, God cannot die. However, the incarnation changes this. The Son of God is eternally begotten of the Father. As God the Son, he is Spirit. And throughout all of biblical history, God the Son has made appearances in human-like form, without yet taking on his own body. But when the Holy Spirit of God visited the Virgin Mary, the Son of God took on human nature in Mary's womb and was made man. The Son of God was then born of Mary and was given the name Jesus. He humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant. And while Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, he still maintained his full identity as God the Son. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity, as we confess in the Athanasian Creed. In the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God now possesses a body and a soul. That is what all mankind is created with. Jesus could then give himself over to suffer under Pontius Pilate. As foretold in Isaiah 53, the servant of God would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. His stripes would give healing to all mankind. God himself could not suffer in any such way. No wounds could ever appear upon our God. And yet Jesus, the God-man, suffers it all. The evidence of Jesus' suffering is clear. He was brutally beaten with the scourging whip of the Romans. Blood flowed from his wounded back and sides. Twisted branches of sharp thorns were pressed deep into his scalp. Soldiers of Rome punched Jesus in the face and in the body. With a reed, they struck him over his head. The wood of the cross was laid across his back for him to carry out of the city. And he was paraded through the masses of Passover pilgrims through the city streets. Once, finally, to the place of the skull, Jesus was nailed to that cross. A nail hammered through each wrist and then through his feet. The upright beam of the cross was then slid into the slot already in the ground. Jesus' full weight hanging from the nails. After 6 hours upon the cross, Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus was dead. His soul left his body. The blood stopped pumping through his arteries and his veins. His lungs were no longer moved by his diaphragm. His skin began to stiffen and yellow. Jesus was cold to the touch. The soldiers came to break his legs, but they saw that he was already dead. There was no need to break his legs to hurry up his death. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Blood and water flowed. More testimony that Jesus was dead. Joseph of Arimathea orchestrated the removal of Jesus' body from the cross. They bound up his body with linen cloths as they had done to Lazarus. Spices were mixed in with the burial clothes. In Joseph's own nearby tomb, Jesus' dead body was laid to rest. St. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, "For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Jesus is fully God. And as true and fully God, Jesus died on the cross. He gave up his spirit. God himself was dead in Christ. Did the Father die? Did the Holy Spirit die? No, only God the Son. And yet God in Christ did die. This remains a mystery we cannot solve, but the mystery we are called to believe. Why could it not just be Jesus, the perfect man who died on the cross? Why must we hold to this teaching that he is truly and fully God? Truly, this is what God has revealed. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is fully God. Never does the Bible say that Jesus ceased being God. The Son of God never leaves Jesus on the cross. The Son of God is Jesus on the cross. In the incarnation, the Son of God becomes Son of Man, and the two will never again be separated. Peter clearly confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus accepted this claim as the truth. Jesus also remained fully human after his resurrection, as is demonstrated by his eating and by those who saw him alive. Jesus remains fully God and fully man for us and for our salvation. One man's sacrifice is not enough for all mankind. One may be able to sacrifice himself for one person, or maybe a few others, But one man cannot save the whole world, nor win forgiveness of all sin for those who have ever lived, or those who ever will live. But God alone meets that criteria. God is the sacrifice for sin, covers over all fully and completely. There is no limit to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. His atonement is infinite. On the cross, after 6 hours of suffering, the Lord Jesus gave up his spirit. God died on the cross. God the Son's created human soul left God the Son's created human body. While his body lay in the tomb, the Lord Jesus descended into hell to proclaim his victory, according to 1 Peter. Having suffered for all sin fully upon the cross, Jesus suffered nothing in hell. His descent into hell begins his exaltation, his return to glory as the true Son of God. But for now, on this night, we remember the death of our Savior, our King, our Lord, our God. We say with Luther, Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All of this the Lord Jesus has done so that you can be his own and live forever with him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. The death of God has secured it all, paying the price for all sin. There is no greater sacrifice for us, and there is no greater Savior we could have. To Jesus Christ be all glory, laud, and honor, now and forever, our Savior, our friend, our Lord, our God. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.